Certified Specialist Legal Interpreter. Sample Materials.
Task E.
Task Instructions.
You will shortly hear a monolingual exchange of between 750 and 800 words in English. The exchange will be played once, with no pauses. You cannot request a repetition of any part of the exchange. You must interpret this monolingual exchange using the simultaneous mode. This means starting to interpret as soon as possible and continuing for the duration of the exchange. The following interpreting brief provides the context for the exchange.
Interpreting brief.
A GP, Dr. Oscar, had his practicing license suspended by the Medical Board of Australia due to allegations of misconduct, including sexual conduct towards a patient, under Section 156(1)(a) of the National Law of Medical Board of Australia. The matter was appealed to the Civil and Administrative Tribunal, where it was overturned based upon mitigating factors, a commitment to undertake redressive actions, and legal precedents. The case is now being appealed to the Northern Territory Supreme Court by the appellant, the Medical Board of Australia. The respondent is Dr. Oscar. The lawyer for the Medical Board of Australia, Mr. Larry Hernandez, is making a submission to Judge Helen Choi, outlining the grounds of the appeal. You have been asked to interpret for Dr. Oscar using the simultaneous mode, sitting alongside him in the courtroom. The task begins now.
Counsel for the defence, do you have a submission to make on behalf of your client at this juncture?
Yes, thank you, Your Honour. Let me first summarise part of the extensive history of this case. The applicant was a registered medical practitioner. On the 14th of November 2014, under Section 156(1)(a) of the Health Practitioner Regulation National Law, the Medical Board of Australia, the respondent, suspended the applicant's registration immediately due to an allegation of inappropriate sexual relationship or boundary violation with a patient referred to as Patient A. The applicant challenged this decision in the Northern Territory Health Professional Review Tribunal, which concluded there was insufficient evidence to reasonably believe immediate action should have been taken against the applicant, and set aside the respondent's decision to suspend the applicant's registration. I would like to outline the facts grounding the tribunal's findings. In brief, one matter relates to a boundary violation, Patient A, in which the applicant had an inappropriate sexual relationship with a patient. Two matters, Patients B and C, relate to the applicant conducting inadequate skin cancer checks together with his subsequent efforts to conceal them from AHBRA investigators and the respondent by recreating more detailed consultation notes and falsely representing them to be contemporaneous. The final matter, Patient D, relates to the applicant's efforts to conceal from investigators and the respondent a consultation which occurred with a patient he had some form of a personal relationship with by recreating notes and asserting they were contemporaneous. An in-depth description of the facts relating to patients A to D is available in a previous decisions of the tribunal.
Thank you, counsel. So I understand that the notice of appeal first alleges that the tribunal failed to give due weight to mitigating factors put on behalf of the applicant. So these factors, as can be ascertained from written submissions relied upon in the tribunal hearing, were that the applicant recreated the patient notes and attempted to mislead investigators in the context of stressful dealings with APRA regarding patient A, which included being suspended from practice, embarrassing media reports, and ongoing investigation into his conduct, which was likely to eventuate in another hearing. He had undertaken further training in skin cancer treatments and ethics. He had identified deficiencies in his record keeping and acknowledged the consequential risk to patients. He intended to allow more time for consultations to allow him to complete records contemporaneously rather than relying upon his memory later in the day. He'd been suspended for 12 months at that stage, losing his income, during which he had assisted his colleagues so that they could learn from his mistakes. And he was supported by his co-workers at the medical centre, and references were tendered. Then additionally, he had committed to a number of undertakings as outlined by the tribunal. He will not consult patients for skin cancer purposes until he has completed a refresher course. He will ensure his patient bookings are such to enable sufficient time for detailed clinical notes to be completed at the time of consultation. The medical centre practice manager will provide to APRA on a frequency as directed by them a printout of any deletions or editing of patient records performed by the applicant or to his notes during each such period. And he will enrol in and complete the next available medical ethics course at a university.
Yes, Your Honour. However, we do not consider that these undertakings in the form proffered or conditions imposed would be adequate protection from the risk posed by the practitioner. The risk he poses stems not from any particular threat to the physical health or welfare of his patients, as might be the case if there were evidence of incompetence, but from the deep ethical flaws exposed by his prudent conduct. These undertakings do not address the underlying issue, namely that the practitioner has several times shown himself capable of grossly dishonest and unethical conduct, which, in the case of patient D at least, extends so far as a willingness to falsify medical records. Furthermore, I respectfully submit that the penalties handed down in the four precedents the court was referring to do not disclose a unifying principle and have too many distinguishing features to support the proposition that the penalty imposed was manifestly excessive. Therefore, these cases do not support a conclusion that the tribunal erred when determining the applicant's sanction. We are of the view that, in the unusual circumstances of this case, suspension of the practitioner's registration is necessary in order to protect public health and safety.
End of task.